love you.
Love you, bro.
Well, good morning, Solid Rock.
Good morning.
I will bless the Lord at what? All times. And his praise shall what?
Continually
be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast of the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Is there anyone else in this building that's happy about being in the house of God other than me? Amen. Let's show them how happy we are and say, Lord, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, Father. Holy God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Anthony said a mouthful. I know about that much of what God has saved me from, and even that scares me. What I know frightens me. Just imagine about what I don't know. So I love the Lord with all my heart. I really do. Pastor Bledsoe, Sister Bledsoe, leadership, congregation, we have a word this morning. How many of you could use a word from the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Exodus 33, let's go. Let's go. Exodus 33. Exodus 33, we're going to begin reading at verse 12. Amen. I love to see those Bibles. If you have it on your electronic device, pull it up. Exodus 33, verse 12 through 14. And let's just preface this just a little bit. Let's just set everything up. So God uses Moses to deliver his people from Egypt. And Moses leads his people to the first stop. They're at the base of a foot of a mountain. Moses goes up, Moses alone, and he communes with God for 40 days. Somebody say 40 days.
40 days.
God have mercy. Imagine what that was like to be in the presence of God for 40 days. Amen. But meanwhile, down below, the people say Moses has gone and left us, and he ain't coming back. So they say, they tell the second in command, Aaron, build us some calves and lead us back to Egypt. Because this Moses fellow is not coming back. So they start sinning. In the meanwhile, God tells Moses, go back down the mountain, because your people have corrupted themselves.
Yes, yes.
Good God Almighty. Woo!
Yes, sir.
So Moses goes down the mountain. Sure enough, a little play was going on. So Moses becomes angry. He throws the tablets down, and he punishes them. And now Moses has to go back up the mountain to make amends for their sin. And this is where we pick up in the text. Exodus 33, 12 through 14. Listen to what Moses says, verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, Moses says, that this nation is your people. Listen to God's response. The Lord replied all together, my presence will go with you, and I will give thee rest. Let's say it one more time. Verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Good God Almighty. How many of you in here could use a little rest? Rest. Amen. Moses is often talked about in the context of miracles, signs, and wonders. The 10 plagues on Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, bringing water from a rock. But the thing that I admire the most about Moses is not the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. The thing that I admire the most about Moses is his relationship, his fellowship, and his walking close with the creator of the universe. Amen. Amen. There were some times when God told Israel, I'm going to call Moses up to me, but Moses alone shall come. So he's saying, everybody else stay back, but Moses, come closer. And there were times when Moses went out to his tent that the people saw a cloud hover over his tent. And the Bible says that God came down and spoke with Moses as a man speaketh with his friend. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anybody got any friends? Amen. Amen. But God did so many amazing things. And yet Moses was so close to God. And I admire that relationship that Moses had with God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now notice something about Moses that's also true about us. Whenever Moses was in the presence of God, Moses was calm. He was poised. He had good demeanor. He was peaceful. He had solitude. He was a man who had it going on. Amen. But when he left the presence of God, somebody said, sometime you got to go, and went back down in the presence of the people, that's when Moses began to experience some issues. He has issues with his closest family. His sister and his brother began to murmur against him, Miriam and Aaron. He has problems in his workplace. When he goes out to the camp of Israel and clocks in, he has to sit there from sunup to sundown and judge between people who were fussing, fighting, and arguing. And he had to do it all day long. Look at somebody and say, all day long. Woo! Good God Almighty. He had problems with his leadership. Some of them became jealous and envious of the relationship between Moses and God and between the Levites and Moses. So they rise up against him. And at one point, the ground opens up and swallows all of the folk who were turning against Moses. Good God Almighty. He has issues with people. Somebody said, church would be a great place if it just wasn't for the people. Good God Almighty. So he has people who are complaining, and they complain about this, and they complain about that. And they complain about water. Moses, we have no water. We're thirsty. You brought us out here to die. And God tells Moses, Moses, go to that rock. Speak to the rock. And when you speak to the rock, water will come forward from the rock. Woo! In other words, God is saying, Moses, show some control. Have some poise. Show some confidence. Let them know that you know me. Let them know who I am. Let them know that I don't get rattled, Moses. Let them know that I'm not concerned. Let them know that I can do anything, anywhere, at any time. Walk to the rock, Moses. Speak to it and watch water come forth. Well, Moses is okay with that, but something happens between the time Moses leaves God And by the time Moses arrives at the people, and he's probably thinking over and over in his head, these low down, dirty, good for nothing. What do we have to do to show y'all that God is in control? And by the time he makes it to the people, Moses is fighting mad. And he takes his staff, and instead of speaking to the rock, he goes, "Ah! See here, you rebels, must we bring water from this rock?" Boom. And guess what happens? Water comes from the rock. But you know what happens? God tells Moses, "You failed me. You failed me. I sent you to show them me. You showed them you." Woo! Good God Almighty. I call that a rock moment. Is there anybody in the building who's ever had a rock moment? Amen. Amen. I know I shouldn't have said that. I knew I shouldn't have said it. Woo! But I'm just so fed up and I'm tired. Have I not told you 100 times? A rock moment. Just like Moses, sometimes we just need the presence of God. We just need the presence of God. We too have problems in the workplace, and we need the presence of God. We have problems with our health, and we need the presence of God. We have problems with our family, and we need the presence of God. We have problems in our finances, and we need the presence of God. We have problems with our children, and yet we need the presence of God. Sometimes it doesn't matter how many times we say it, how many times we write it. We can put it in sign language. We can send a letter. We can send a text. We can send an email. And they still won't get it. It's only going to take the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. I can say this now because my wife didn't come with me. But when we first got married, I like my beans cooked a certain way. Pinto beans. And every time I try to coach her, this is how you do it now. Come on. This is how my mama did it. So let me show you how. Yes, sir. This is how I like my. Okay. So, but she did it the way her mother did it, which wasn't how I liked it. And so I would say, you know, I would really love them cooked like this. And when I get home, whenever we have beans and I sit down, guess what I would see? Her mama's beans. So I figure, well, you know, I'm the man of the house. I figure I ought to be able to get my beans like I want them sometime. Come on, men. Come on, men. Amen. And so I would say it again, and I would put a little bit more emphasis on it, you know. And the next time we have beans, I would sit down and look and, guess what I would see? Her mama beans. And so I figure, well, maybe if I just make her jealous, and I would say, my mama's beans is the best thing I have ever had. Don't nobody make beans like my mama make beans. I figure that'll get it. That'll get it. The next time I sat down, we had beans, what do you think I saw? Her mama beans. And so I said, Lord, I give up. Something's going to have to happen here. Because what I'm trying is just not working. And so the next time I had beans, I had a mama beans. I smiled. I talked. I ate the beans. I said how good they were. And the next time we had beans, I sat down. Guess what I saw? My mama beans. Woo! Bacon in them. Pig feet. Good God Almighty. I'm trying to tell you, there's some things that we're working on, that we're trying to do in our lives. It's just not working. And we need his presence. We need his presence. We need God's presence. Why? God wants us to have his presence. That type of relationship is not just reserved for the spiritual elite. Walking with God is not just reserved for the pastor or the bishop or whoever. God wants to walk hand in hand with you. You and you and you and you and you. And you might say, but you don't know my background. It doesn't matter. God wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to show himself to you. He wants to reveal things to you. He wants to whisper things to you. He wants to warn you about some things. He wants to teach you some things. And he wants that same relationship that he had with Moses with you. And he wants to be able to say, I talk with my servant Anthony face to face as a man does his friend. I walk with Maddie, and I talk with Maddie, and I show Maddie things that are to come. Why? Because she's mine. God wants that type of a relationship with all of us. But, truth be told, most of us are walking very far from God. Just happy to have the normal Christian life. I read my Bible. I go to church. I sing every now and then. I pray every now and then. To me, that's faith. No, 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 no. God wants a whole lot more with you, with us. Prayer was meant to lead us into the presence of God. Worship was meant to lead us into the presence of God. Reading the Bible was meant to lead us into the presence of God. David says this in Psalm 122 and 1. He says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. David said, I rejoiced whenever they said, let's go to church. I rejoiced when they said, it's time to go worship. But sadly, for many of us, going to the house of worship is sort of like, have you ever seen that old man on the Dunkin' Donuts commercial? You know, the one that says, time to make the donut, and he's just walking, right? He gets up, and he's half asleep, his clothes half on, and he says, time to make the donut. And he leaves, and he goes to make the donut. He comes back, I made the donut. I made the donut. It's like no excitement, no passion, not even looking forward to it. He does it out of duty. And to be honest, does some of us do that sometimes? It's like, time to go to church. Time to go to church. And then when church is over, I went to church. I went to church. It's like God is saying, no, 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 no. I don't want you to be like that. God is saying, I want you to have passion. I want you to be excited about coming before me because I am the God of all the universe. And I want you to look forward to worship and praise and prayer. Because we serve a God who's not boring. He's exciting. He does all things, the Bible says, well. Good God Almighty. We need his presence. We need his presence. Now that I've convinced you that we need his presence, how do we come into his presence? How do we do that? Number one, give him some time. Give him some time. God is saying to each and every one of us, I want you to come into my presence, and I want you to spend some time with me. Time. Jesus Christ, the most sought-after minister of his day, the busiest man on the planet, but yet the Bible says every morning he went out and had prayer and communed with the Father.
Amen.
Somebody said time. Time is one thing that we don't have to buy. You don't have to have good credit. You don't have to take it from anybody. Nobody owns it but God himself. And God gives everybody the same amount of, somebody say it, time. And God wants us to spend some meaningful time in his presence. So it has to go beyond the normal, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's good for a 9-year-old, but not for a seasoned child of God.
Amen.
God wants your time. And we tend to make priorities for what we think is important.
Yes, we do. Amen.
We do. Look at somebody and say, he wants your time. God wants your time.
Amen. Amen.
He wants your time. The second thing God wants is God wants us to be humble.
Amen.
If you ever truly want to come into the presence of God, you got to be humble.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Humble, humble, humble. For the Bible says, for God resists the proud.
That's right. That's right.
But he gives grace to the who? The humble. My wife and I, and y'all pray for us, we have this thing going on sometime to where she has to have the last word in.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And I have to have the last word in.
Amen.
And so sometime whenever she says something, and I'll say something back, and she has to say something, and I have to say something back, and it just goes on and on and on, and it's really bad when we're laying in bed side by side. And she'll say something, and I'll say, oh, no, no. And she'll say, nah, no, no. And I'll say, no, no, no. And I'll say, would you just stop trying to get the last word in? And she'll say, okay. But you must be humble. And there are those rare moments when I'll just say, okay, I'm going to be the big person. I'm just going to let you have the last word in. Okay? And she'll say, okay. And I'll say, good. And she's like, good too. But that's not being what? Humble, isn't it? So be humble. God wants us to be humble. And the third thing that God wants us to do, and last thing, to come into his presence is this. God wants us to worship him. He wants us to worship him. The Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. That whenever his children are sending up praise and worship, God's presence comes and he sits and he observes and takes in the worship coming from the hearts of his people. David was a worshiper, a songwriter, musician. So you can say he was a part of the praise team. So that's why David could say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Because David knew that here's my opportunity to worship. What is it like being in God's presence? What's it like? Some of us need God present today because truthfully we're going through some things. Amen. Some things that only God's presence is going to help with. Counseling is good. Pastoral advice is good. Prayer is good. The word of God is good. But can I tell you today there are some things that we're dealing with that just can't be fixed without the presence of God. His presence and his presence only is going to be able to take care of some things in our lives. I can tell you about this because I've lived it. When my son died, I remember at the funeral, and Brother Anthony was there. We were sitting on the front pew. And his coffin was feet away from us, his casket. And I kept looking at his casket, and I kept thinking, it can't end like this. This can't be the end. This is not how this story is going to end. And I kept telling God in my mind, I don't understand, I don't understand, I don't understand. And then I said, God, I need you now. I need you. If you're really real, you got to help me. I need you. And when I said that, I felt this presence come upon me. From the top of my head all the way down to the bottom of my feet. I've never had that happen to me before in my life. But I was broken. I was wounded. And I was desperate. And God showed up. And I could feel and I could sense such an atmosphere of peace that I knew it had to be God. Has anybody ever been there? Hallelujah. He's not going to let us drown. He's not going to let us go under. Just ask Peter. When Peter walked on water, yes, and began to sink, yes, all he had to say was, Lord, help me. Save me. And he's right there. God's presence is awesome. It's peaceful. It's calming. It's encouraging. And he brings with his presence whatever we need. If we're confused, he brings understanding. If we're sad, he brings comfort. If we're angry, he brings a calming, peaceful sense. That's what God's presence is like. And that's what he wants you and I to have. It is a supernatural occurrence that only God can do. Amen. Anybody out there want God's presence?
Yes, Lord.
Amen. I need his presence.
Yes,
I need his presence. With what I'm going through, I got to have his presence. I got to have his presence. And God wants you, you, to come into his presence today. That's what I came to say, is that God wants you to come into his presence. I want to ask the team to play song number 8. It's a beautiful worship song. It's called Alpha and Omega. You are Alpha and Omega. Come on, let's worship God. Tell him. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy to be. Remember, we talked about coming to his presence. Worship him. Worship.
You are.
Yes, Father.
And Omega.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
To be praised.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We give you all.
Give him glory.
The glory.
Yes, yes.
We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Thank you, Lord. That's what he wants. He wants us to admire him and worship him and give our hearts and our souls to him. And then his presence comes and it changes our lives. He wants us in his presence. Thank you.